From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanthi Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. Many of you might know that few members of the Prashanthi Bhajan group were invited to the United States by Swami students who are currently in US for a series of satsangs. They were there in the US for about 21 days and did about 8 musical presentations throughout US and a bhajan workshop that was done as a part of a special retreat in LA. This workshop on Sai Bhajans was done by Sri Ravi Kumar, Sri Amey Deshpande and Sri Siddhartha. And as soon as I got hold of the recording of this workshop, I thought this would be a great opportunity for me to bring this special program to you listeners so that devotees from all across the world get to listen and derive joy therefrom. Now, just to make some technical observations, there were a few places in this recording where the audio was not very clear. For example, in the section where they explained the different genres of Sai Bhajans, I had to replace the singing of Brother Amey, Ravi and Siddhartha with the voices of Brother Anirudh and Anand from Radio Sai, since that section had some noise issues. Anyway, with that introduction, here is a bhajan workshop that was done by Brothers Ravi Kumar, Amey and Siddhartha. Stay tuned, dear listeners. After the presentation, we have some lovely bhajans from the album Bhavanjali, Volume 7, produced by the Sri Sathya Sai Media Division under the banner of Sai Blossom. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesh Jhari. Stay tuned.
Offering our most loving pranams at the divine lotus feet of our ever-present Swami, and invoking His presence and His benediction on this beautiful morning. Most revered elders, dear brothers and sisters, a warm and loving Sai Ram to all of you. Let the name of the Lord play on our lips forever. That is what this bhajan echoes. Sada Nirantara Hari Gunagao. Many years back, Swami was talking to a few students, and it was after a particular bhajan session. He was talking to students in the interview room and he said, "Do you know what is the speciality of Prashanthi Nilayam?" So everybody said, "Swami, obviously you are the speciality, you are the unique feature of Prashanthi Nilayam. Doesn't exist without Bhagwan." And Swami said, "No, there is something more important than that." "More important than Swami? What can be there in Prashanthi Nilayam which is more important than Swami?" And Swami said, "My name. Each and every brick, each and every marble, each and every inch of Sai Kulwant Hall has been suffused by Swami's name over the past 85 years. I would say probably from 1950. Swami said, even when Swami is not there in Vrindavan or in Prashanthi Nilayam, Parthi has been one place where there have been bhajans for the past 67 years. Even if Swami is not there in Prashanthi Nilayam, the bhajans go on. That is the efficacy," Swami said, "that even when my physical form, when Swami would go away to Vrindavan, bhajans would still continue in Prashanthi Nilayam morning and evening. Every particle of Prashanthi Nilayam, of Prashanthi Mandir has been suffused by the Lord's name." And Swami went on to say that long after this body does not exist, this was way back, more than 10 years back, Swami said, "Long after this body does not exist, the name will be suffused, will continue to surcharge this entire mandir, and it will give strength and solace to the millions who will come over here. That is the power of the Lord's name." Swami himself said this.
In fact, yesterday after the evening bhajans, when we were outside, quite a few people came up and, you know, talking to us, and so many of them said, you know, "The bhajans were so nice. You took us back to Prashanthi Nilayam. You know, we felt like we were in Parthi. We could feel Swami's presence." It just means that it's just your devotion that was enabling you to tune in, right? It's one thing that Prashanthi Nilayam bhajans are being sung here, but then it's just that it was your devotion that allowed you to tune in and feel like you were in Parthi, even though you are thousands of kilometers away, right? So very often we feel that. We feel like we are in Parthi, or we feel that we feel Swami's presence. So then it just means that at that moment we were able to tune in. So what is it to tune in? Now when you feel tuned in, there's just, you just are just enveloped by peace, right? You have undisturbed peace. You have so much of tranquil in your heart So that's, it's just that which makes you feel Swami's presence.
And isn't that what Prashanti Nilayam is all about?
All about.
The abode of supreme peace. Which means, the moment you start experiencing peace in your life, you are in Prashanti Nilayam.
And then, how wonderful would it be if we were able to be tuned in all the time? Right? Regardless of where we are, regardless of what we are doing, if we are able to get that tranquility in our hearts. So how do you tune in? How then do you tune in to that frequency? Well, Radio Sai is one option. Yes, so many people listen to Radio Sai every day and they feel connected. They keep telling, you know, it's a link. We feel like we are in Parthi because we listen to Radio Sai the whole day. We know exactly what's happening, Prashanti, even though we're not there. Of course, yes, Radio Sai is a sure shot way of tuning in. But Swami says, Namasmaran, or chanting the name of the Lord, is the best way to tune in.
In fact, if I can add, for Radio Sai, you still need a data plan. Okay, what if I tell you that there's one way to tune in, even without a data plan, even without this extension called technology, right? There is some inner technology that Swami has given us to tune in.
And I was just going to say that Namasmaran is so important and it's more powerful than the form itself. That's precisely what Swami meant when he said, long after this body is not there, when the form is not there, the name will still give you that strength. So Radio Sai pretty much depends on the form, right? But Namasmaran is something that goes beyond the form. An example, Swami says that, suppose I tell you, ask you, would you like to have a mango? You know, it's the mango season. Would you like to have a mango? Swami says, when you start imagining the mango, what runs in your mind? You think of a ripe yellow fruit, that smell of mango, which fresh cut mango which you can enjoy. Swami says it will give you so much of joy, you know, you'll just be drooling and waiting to get that mango. Swami says if I actually give you a mango in your hand, the thought that comes to your mind is this a sweet fruit or is that the sweeter fruit? Right? You no more are in that lost in that bliss. And Swami says that is the difference between the form and the name. The name mango gives you so much joy imagining the mango, not as much comes to you when you get the form itself.
The mango by itself seems to be a distraction from what it actually is.
Yes.
The actual mango.
The experience of the mango.
The experience of the
mango. Swami gives one more example. Swami says, if I were to tell you about a rose, right, the moment you close your eyes and think of the, of a rose, what comes to your mind? A beautiful red or a pink rose with so much, the completely blossomed and beautiful fragrance, etc., etc. But where, if you were to be actually given a rose, right, the first thing that hits you is the thorn, right?
You need to be careful.
Yeah, you need, even before you look at the rose, you actually look at the stem and, you know, watch out for the thorn. This is an example Swami gives, that Swami says the name and the form are like that. In fact, the form is almost like you're looking for a weakness in the form. When the form is given to you, that is why, you know, they often say, if you were to ask a buffalo, what is God to you? It will describe a large black being with majestic horns and a long tail and a shining body, because the buffalo can think of only God as a big buffalo, the most perfect buffalo. Right, so when we think of a form, we just think of a perfect human being. But the name goes beyond that. And that is the importance of the name over the form. By no means are we belittling the form, because it is the form which actually gives us the name. Right? Satyanarayana became our Swami, became our beloved Sai Baba, because of the form that he had. And we love that form. But Swami himself says that something that is more enduring than the form is the name of the Lord.
In fact, in the nine forms of devotion that Swami has said that we can use to reach Him, the Navavida Bhakti, it starts with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and the other six. Okay, so the first three are that important. Shravanam, listening to the Lord's name. Kirtanam, where you're singing the Lord's name. Vishnu Smaranam, again chanting the Lord's name. So the first three paths in the nine paths are all related to the name. And how Shravanam is the first one is, unless we hear His name, we will not be in a position to take His name properly. Even in music, when we go to our great masters of music, they say that before you become gaan pakka, that is good in singing, you should become kaan pakka. You should become good at the ear. You should become good at listening. So listen to the Lord's name first, and then we sing His name and we chant His name. So even in the 9 paths of devotion, the first 3 are related to His name.
And if you were to actually take this forward, Swami says that the first person who gave Namasmarana or Kirtana to the entire world was Narada. Right? He is supposed to be the Triloka Sanchari. He's got the visa. We get visa only to the United States, but he has visa to all the 3 worlds. And he would go all across the 3 worlds chanting Narayana, Narayana. So it was with him that the whole Kirtana process started. And over the past centuries and thousands of years, there have been saints galore in India, outside India, all over the world, who have brought this concept of Kirtana or the chanting of the name of the Lord, Namasmarana, and they've gifted us to, and they've shown us the power of that name. So you have the likes of Mirabai or Tyagaraja or Annamacharya or Tulsidas or Surdas, you name them, all of them had only one thing to hold on to, not the form, but the name of the Lord. And Swami goes on to say that while all of this was Kirtana, Swami says what we need to add to it is Samkirtana, which is Samyak Kirtana, which is doing Kirtana together. And this was introduced to all of us by Guru Nanak Ji. Guru Nanak was the one who introduced Samkirtana to all of us. That is, what is the power of community singing?
An example that I recall which Swami says was for why we should do community singing. Swami says, suppose you are traveling from Bangalore to Puttaparthi.
From Los Angeles to San Jose or to San Diego.
Okay. So you're going in a caravan of cars. Yes, there's a convoy of cars going. And Swami says, you obviously have your headlights on if you're driving in the night. And the advantage of driving together is that supposing someone's headlights fail, you still have lights on the road because somebody else's headlights show you the road. Swami says, that's the importance of singing together, because somebody else's devotion could take you closer to the Lord. So that's an advantage that community singing gives vis-a-vis singing as an individual.
Swami gives 2 more examples of why it is necessary to sing aloud. So why not just do Namasmarana inside your head? Right? I could just be standing here and it's going on. You can't hear it, but Namasmarana is going on inside. What is the necessity for us to speak out loud? Oftentimes, we come to the bhajan session and then we start meditating. Okay, and Swami would be so against that, because he said, having come to the bhajan hall, that is not the place for you to meditate. Right? You have to sit in the bhajans and chant aloud the Lord's name. And Swami gives a very beautiful example over here. Swami says, in the olden days in India, what would happen is there were no street lamps. So you had only earthen lamps which were, which would light up the house. What the housewife would often do is she will keep that earthen lamp on the edge of the house. On the threshold of the house, the lamp will be kept over there. And the advantage of that is it lights up the outside as well as it lights up the inside. Swami says, this is the threshold of this house called the body. The mouth is the threshold of this house called body. When you actually chant it aloud, it not only lights the outside, it also lights up the inside. And that is the beauty of singing aloud the Lord's name.
Another, how Swami, very beautifully and humorously puts it. He said, why should you say the Lord's name aloud? He says, suppose you have fallen into a well. Let's all admit that having come into this world, we have fallen into it. This is a well we have fallen into. We are trying to get out of this well. Swami says that if you just think in your mind, you know what I was thinking? I was actually screaming out for help, saying, please take me out. Swami says, if you're in the well and if you're thinking, saying that, please somebody help me, nobody is going to come and help you. So he says, shout and say, somebody help me, get me out of this well. That is how you must pray to the Lord, saying, Swami, help me cross this ocean of samsara. And that is why we must chant it loudly.
The other important example that Swami gives is, when compared to all other forms of sadhana, there is japa, there is dhyana, there is yajna, there is yoga, there is yaga, why is Namasmarana even better than all of these? Swami gives a very fantastic reason. Swami says, all of these others, pranayama or yoga or dhyana, they help only the individual. The individual who is doing it is benefited from it. It does not help the community at large. But Namasmarana is one thing and Sankirtana is one thing that can not only benefit yourself, but it benefits everybody around, whether they know it or not. That is why Swami started Nagar Sankirtan. Why it was so important? He said, there's so much of pollution, not the physical pollution, not the carbon monoxide, but the pollution of our thoughts, the pollution of our prejudices. And that can be cleansed only by chanting of the Lord's name. And that is why it is necessary that we actually do Nagar Sankirtan. And just by singing bhajans, we are cleansing the entire atmosphere. That is the power of Namasmarana. It not only helps us, it helps everybody around us. So in a sense, if you look at, you know, if you look at all the centuries that have come, every master came and he gave this. Someone like Adi Shankaracharya, can you believe it? Adi Shankaracharya is supposed to be the master of Advaitic philosophy. Okay, he said there is only one. Advaita. There is one and there is no second. Even he ultimately came down to Bhajagovindam, Bhajagovindam, Govindam, Bhajamudamate. He says, oh man, oh foolish mind, chant the name of the Lord. Though he said actually there is only one. So it was, if you look at all the history of, you know, Sankirtana that we have, or all philosophies that we have, we feel, you know, that it has all culminated into this glorious gift that Swami has given us, which is the Sai Bhajans. And we will tell you why we think that Sai Bhajans is the culmination of all the prayers of all the saints and sages. It was almost like God coming and giving a gift. He is paying His tribute to all of those saints by saying, here, let me give you something that everybody can chant. And all the sages and saints, I'm sure, are rejoicing because of this gift that Swami has given all of us, and that is Sai Bhajans.
So how did this Sai Bhajans, how did it evolve? As Brother Karthik was mentioning yesterday, that Bhajans in fact started with Swami being the first Bhajan singer. He was the Bhajan coordinator, he was the Bhajan follower, he was everything. He was the one person doing it all in Prashanti Nilayam. So when devotees would come into Prashanti Nilayam, Swami would call all of them, say, you know, 9 o'clock there is bhajans. You should all come into the bhajan hall. Call everyone into the bhajan hall. And who is there leading the bhajans? Swami himself would lead the bhajans. And in fact, there were days when he would sing one bhajan, but in his own unique and, you know, melodious way, and get people to follow it, a bhajan like this, for example.
Datta Bhagavan, Allah Bhagavan, Yeshu Bhagavan. This bhajan would go on for half an hour. And in several speeds.
So this is how it started, with Swami being the only lead singer there in Prashanti Nilayam. And then a few years later, a few other elders joined. Like we have Mr. Eradi, who is still there in Prashanti Nilayam and sings bhajans. So along with him and Rajareddy Garu, Panduranga Dikshit Garu, and Mr. Mohan Rao,
Veena
Vijayamma Garu. So there were four or five singers at the most. And these four or five singers would lead the entire bhajan session. Entire bhajan session for half an hour is very good. But an entire Shivaratri bhajan session? Yeah, but they had to do it. So they started doing it. So Mr. Eradi so beautifully recounted to us and said that he was thinking one morning, one Shivaratri morning, after an entire night of singing, and they were really tired, and he thought, Swami, it's okay now, we are a little young, But what will happen a few years later, you know, I'm getting old, Rajareddy Garu is getting old, Mohan Rao Garu is getting old, Vijayamma Garu is getting old. So what is going to happen to your bhajans? He was just thinking within himself. And then Swami came for the morning session, the Shivaratri morning, the concluding session. Swami came, walked up straight to Mr. Eradi and told him, you are thinking what is going to happen to my bhajans after some years? Don't worry. My students are going to come and they will lead my bhajans. And there will be so many students, many will not get the chance to sing also in front of me. And this took Mr. Eradi by surprise. And he thought this is way back before even the concept of a university existed in Prashantalyam. There was no student. Was there a Veda Patashala at that time?
Probably.
Probably and Veda Patashala, but they were far from being singers. So Mr. Eradi was thinking, okay, those are those boys who can chant some Vedam. They can't sing. Where are these students that Swami is talking about?
No, Eradi sir was recounting the story, I told him, I said, sir, obviously Swami's words came true. Students came and so many students came, so many singers came. I was telling him how the same Shivaratri bhajans, they were about, when I was a student, there were about 45 singers in the student community. 45 singers, and I didn't get a chance to sing in front of Bhagavan because there were so many singers and Swami would sit only for couple of hours in the evening and an hour max in the morning. I didn't get a chance to sing, and look at it, that's exactly what Swami had told him. Swami had said, there will be so many singers that they won't get chance to sing. And at that time when there were four of them, they are thinking, what are you talking about? We are here singing the whole night, who's going to come? And there are going to be so many people that they won't have chance to sing. And yes, we did come, and so many students, and even now we have so many singers in the student community.
Yes.
Not everybody gets a chance to sing. So Swami had, imagine the prophetic vision that he had. He knew way back in the 60s what he was going to do much later, 20 years later, and he could tell them what things are going to be like in the days to come.
In fact, now in the student community, we are singing in pairs. We don't sing alone. When Siddhartha was talking about his time, they were at least, we were singing alone, but now we are singing together, and still some boys don't get a chance during Shivaratri and Akhanda Bhajan to sing in front of Swami. So how did the bhajans evolve in the student community?
To begin with, like brother just mentioned, there were these elders who were singing, but somewhere in the 80s when the university began and the students started coming in, they would just be singing the bhajans which we know that have always been handed down from generation to generation. I believe one particular year, some of the students were going back home for a vacation, and Swami said, what are you doing in your vacation? Swami, we are going back home. They lived in the northeastern parts of India. Swami said, on your way, why don't you stop at Calcutta and meet such and such a person? And why don't you learn a few bhajans and come? So they took Swami's instructions. They went to this devotee who stayed in Calcutta. They learned bhajans from him, and they came back the next year and they sang those bhajans. This went on the next year as well. The third year, Swami said, so what are you doing for your vacations? He said, Swami, we are going to Calcutta, we'll learn bhajans and then we'll go home. Swami said, why don't you compose? And that started the next phase of Sai bhajans, where students started composing. And that we can say is the golden period of Sai bhajans, because in that period between the 80s, most of the bhajans that we sing today, about 90% of the bhajans that we sing today, were composed in that period by the students who studied there. And they say, those elder brothers say, there would be pressure from Swami, there's no new bhajan today. So every day they would have to go back and think up of bhajans and compose and come back the next day, and Swami would wait for them to come the next day with new bhajans. And so that's the kind of encouragement, and that's how he gradually trained the students to take over and start composing, and eventually he left that legacy to the students and said, here you go. So Prashantinilayam bhajans will be led by the student community.
And some of these students were not musicians by any distance. Some of them were just tabla players. They're not even tabla players. They just knew how to play the duffli. They got on, Swami gave them a tabla set and said, okay, learn tabla and start playing the tabla. In fact, a tabla player would compose bhajans. And they were very good bhajans, which we sing even till today. And we had so many beautiful bhajans which came up during that period, which, all of us love nowadays. Anupama Sundara, Tumaho Vighna Vinasha, Sai Ram Sai Sham. Sesha Sailavasa. Hundreds of bhajans that you can think of, they all came during that period. And what was so beautiful is, Swami would call this little group of bhajan boys into the interview room, and as Siddhartha was saying, Swami would ask them, what is the new bhajan for today? Sing it before me. He would make them render the bhajan in the interview room before him and make corrections or be happy with it, so that they could go outside and render it again for him. You know, that was the amount of love and concern with which he has brought up this bhajan group. And the first dholak, the first tabla set, the first khanjira, the first talam, everything Swami himself has given to the students and said, okay, bring up this legacy.
So what is the uniqueness of Sai Bhajans, other than the fact that the Lord himself started it? Swami says that there are four types of sankirtana. Swami says there is Nama Sankirtana, Guna Sankirtana, Leela Sankirtana and Bhava Sankirtana. So, for example, if you look at all the saints and whatever they have composed, they will probably come under one of these categories. Nama Sankirtana is basically about singing the Lord's name. So, all of these four types of Sankirtana find its expression in Sai Bhajans. So while probably the Maharashtrian saints, you know, Tukaram and Namdev and Eknath, they focused on Nama Sankirtana, someone like Tyagaraja was about Bhava Sankirtana or Guna Sankirtana, someone like Mirabai or Surdas was all about Bhava, which is, you know, pouring out their heart to the Lord.
Leela.
And Leelas also, like Rasa Leela and, you know, Thumaka Chalate Ramachandra, it's talking about, you know, how the Lord walked. Just imagine, while all of these specialized in one types of Sankirtana, here was Swami telling, you pick up any type and it is acceptable to me. And Sai Bhajans have all of these genres put into one. Probably in one bhajan itself, you will have all the four types of Sankirtanas. So if these are the four different types of Sankirtanas which come out through Sai Bhajans, there is another way of looking at Sai Bhajans, and which is through genres. So we have several different types of genres, in music. And Sai Bhajans are able to even have all of the genres built into one. So let's very quickly give you a one line example of the different genres. So for example, let us take Carnatic music. You know, what would be a bhajan? How does Carnatic music look through Sai Bhajans? So something like Amba Shankari, you know, is a very, very typically Carnatic bhajan.
Amba Shankari Parameshwari Shashi Shekari Amba Sarveshwari Jagadishwari Maheshwari Amba Amba Shankari Parameshwari Shashi Shekhari Amba.
Yeah, so basically what it is all these genres, many of us get attracted to probably one genre of music. Some of us would like Carnatic. So when a bhajan is like this is sung, we relate much better to this. So maybe on the Hindustani, somebody who is
ghan ghan neela vadana ati sundar megha shyamala madhava murara megha shyamala madhava murara Ghana ghana neela vadana ati sundara.
Or there could be someone who's not capable or not trained in both, neither Carnatic nor Hindustani, someone like me, also find some light bhajans, what we call light bhajans, which doesn't have necessarily any grounding with either of these schools of music.
हे अनाथ नाथ साई तुम हो अंतर्यामी तुम हो मेरे भगवान तुम हो मेरे मेरे भगवान.
Doesn't have any, you know, touches which require you to know either school of music.
We all like, some of us, you know, we are neither fully classical, but we also want to sing classical. So there is a genre called the semi-classical. So what would be a bhajan, you know, in the semi-classical version, which is a little difficult, but not, does not require you to, you know either style of music. So something like Raghukula Bhushana.
Raghukula Bhushana Rajivanayana. ರಘುಕುಲ ಭೂಷಣ ರಾಜೀವನಯನ ಈಶ್ವರಾಂಬನಂದನ ಸತ್ಯಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮ ಈಶ್ವರಾಂಬನಂದನ ಸತ್ಯಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮ.
Yeah, and then some of us may relate to this form of Indian music called ghazals. You know, they are very soft, lilting. Some of them have a lot of classical music in it.
And they're pretty much all over the place.
Yeah, pretty much all over the place. They are complicated in a sense, but also very pleasing to the ear.
Kamala Nayana Sairanga. Kamala Nayana Sairanga. Sab Sukh Data Sai, Bhagya Vidata Sai, Radha Ramana Sairanga. Radha Ramana Sairanga. Kamala Nayana Sairanga. Kamala Nayana Sairanga.
We can only listen and appreciate. We can't sing like that.
It is probably an example of Kirtana, not Sankirtana. So because, yeah, we were saying an example of Sankirtana or Sai Bhajan is not for people to go, wow, but it should be for people to follow. But yeah, maybe a toned down version of this is a ghazal style. Yeah.
Of course, there's the Western chord-based bhajans as well. So many of our bhajans also have incorporated Western chord sequences. For example,
Shambho Mahadeva Shiva Shambho Mahadeva Shambho Mahadeva Shiva Shambho Mahadeva.
So you can actually go into a lot of technicalities, but probably the crux of Sai Bhajans is, you know, in what Swami says in Bharata, it's not the raga or the tala, but it is the bhava. Okay, that is what differentiates, or that should differentiate Sankirtana from every other type. And so let us just spend a few minutes on bhava. And in fact, many sisters were also asking, brothers were also asking, how do we actually, you know, get bhava into our bhajan? We all love to, you know, spend a lot of time in technicalities. We listen to a lot of good singers. We want to pick up this, pick up that. But I think one thing that we cannot pick up from somewhere outside, and it has to come from within us, is bhava. And that is what Swami wants. Because outside, Swami would say is bahya priya. Swami says, I am not bahya priya, I am bhava priya. That which comes from inside. Right, we were just telling some of the young adults yesterday, you know, when somebody asked how to choose bhajans, we were telling them, right, that so your place in the heaven is not decided by the complicated nature of the bhajans that you choose. Okay, means if you choose a more complicated, means like someone, then someone like Ravi sir is alone guaranteed to go to, you know, heaven.
So now and I have no guarantee.
You know, probably some, only like M.S. Subbalakshmi and Lata Mangeshkar, only they can go to heaven. Not possible. I mean, doesn't make sense, right? So Swami is looking at our bhava. How do we actually you know, inculcate bhava, the proper bhava while singing. Swami says that while you may have any amount of food, all of that food makes, you know, it becomes, gets its taste only when you add salt to it. Otherwise, all other food is bland. Food without salt, you cannot call it food at all. You may have any amount of, you know, olive oil, this parmesan cheese or cheddar cheese or whatever you add to it. If there is no salt to the food, Swami says, bhajans without bhava is like food without salt. Okay, you can decorate it as much as you want, but it is tasteless for the Lord. And we are giving it, these bhajans are our offering to the Lord for as His naivedyam. Right? So, bhava is that important.
In fact, Swami also says, all these songs or all these offerings are like the flowers in the garland. But you can't make a garland without a thread. You need something to string it all together. Swami says, bhava is that thread which strings things together to make a garland which is worthy of offering to the Lord.
So you cannot see the thread. You can see only the flowers. So the outside world will only be able to see the, you know, the gamakas and our raga and tala. But the garland knows that it is being held together only because of the thread, and that is the bhava inside. So what are the different ways in which we can get bhava? One very simple but very powerful technique is this visualization. If I can just request brother to, so we have just put together, you know this particular tool, and you could probably do that in the mind's eye, or you can, because of technology today, you can even have that. So what is visualization? Is your ability to picturize, you know, the name and the form of the Lord as you are singing it. So let us take a bhajan like Jai Kailashapati Shiva Shankar. So I'll request our brother to sing, and you know, just pay attention, not to us, but to the screen behind us. Okay, and we have just put together a visualization for you on this particular bhajan called Jai Kailashapati Shiva Shankar. So imagine for a moment, as you are watching that in the mind's eye, all of us, let us transport ourselves to Kailash. And that is Kailash for you behind. Okay, the resident of that is Lord Shankara, Lord Shiva himself. And this bhajan is in propitiation to this Lord. So we have trekked all across for several days, and we are finally at the foothills of Kailash. And the heart says,
Jaya Kailash Pate Shiva Shankar.
And along with the Lord is the mother.
Samba Sada Shiva Shambho.
And oh Lord, we are so happy that you have come all the way from Kailash to be our Sai Shiva.
Paritishwar Sai Shiva Shambho.
O Lord, you are the Lord of all the mountains, the entire Himalayas belong to you.
Shaileshwar Karunamay Shankara.
You are the repository of the entire cosmos, and you have shown it to us. We have seen it with our own eyes emerging from within you.
Lingodbhava kar Shiva Shambho.
You are the one who holds the Trishula, which stands for the Triguna, the Trimurti and the Trikala.
Trishula Jatadhara Gangadhari.
You hold Mother Ganga in your locks, and just for the sake of all us mankind, you have taken the hala hala or the poison, you have drunk that.
Hala hala dhara Shambho.
We pay our obeisance to you, O Mother and Father.
Samba Sada Shiva Shambho. Paritishwar Sai Shiva Shambho.
Welcome back to LA. I'm sure none of you want to come back, right? All of us want to be there. We want to be with our Lord in Kailash, in Prashanti Nilayam. So this is a very powerful tool, you know, and thanks to all the images that have been painted by all the great artists, we can bring that in front of us while the bhajan is going on. It's a very powerful technique. I use it a lot. And, you know, I keep doing this. This is my favorite pastime. I keep making PPTs like this for different bhajans, you know, so that it helps us to visualize better. So another technique to actually get bhava, right? I'm sure I see a few moist eyes over here. Isn't this a powerful technique? Can we not all practice this? Why will we not one day, when we, instead of opening our eyes, we can close our eyes and we can picturize this, right? The other technique is to know the meaning of the bhajan. And I think that is very critical in order to get bhava. If I were to hear a Spanish or a Chinese bhajan, I will not be able to get bhava. It will not make, I remember Chinese brothers and sisters were singing in front of Bhagwan. And, you know, they had changed the Ganesha Sharanam bhajan into Chinese. Yeah. It didn't make any sense. So you have to know the meaning of bhajans in order to completely appreciate it. And in fact, I can tell you one thing, that if you know the meaning and if you totally go into the meaning of the bhajan, you probably will not be able to complete the bhajan because you will be crying. That is how powerful some of these words are. Just to give you a couple of examples, you know, do we know the meaning of Damodara? We know that Damodara means it is Krishna's name. But do we know what is the meaning of Damodara? So very quickly, let me tell you, you know, Damodara comes from that particular incident when Yashoda was one day trying to tie Krishna to a tree. Okay, because he was all running around and so mischievous. And so it is said that Yashoda takes, a thread, a rope, and she is trying to tie Krishna. And it so happens that she takes the rope and she tries to tie, and it falls short by, it seems, only 2 fingers. You know, the length of 2 fingers. So she throws away the rope, she gets a longer rope, she tries to tie Krishna, okay, and once again falls short of 2 fingers. And this goes on several times. Whatever length of rope she takes, she's just not able to tie Krishna, because it is always falling short by 2 fingers. And eventually, she just surrenders to him and she says, "What is this, Kanhaiya? I am not able to even tie you. You only tie yourself." You know, at that moment, she surrenders to him. And then he himself takes and ties, you know, himself to the tree. And any length of rope is then sufficient. And then the Lord, in fact, the great saints, when they talk about this particular incident, they say that those 2 fingers stand for ahamkara and mamakara, attachment and ego. As long as Yashoda felt that, you know, he is my son and I can tie him, that attachment and ego, she was not able to tie him. The moment she surrenders to him and gives up those 2 fingers, then he says, "Now I will tie myself to you. Why are you worried?" So the word Damodara, Udara means stomach and Dama means rope. So the rope which tied the stomach of the Lord, he is called Damodara. Now just imagine what a beautiful meaning when we sing this word, "Oh Lord, I want you, please tie yourself to me. Okay, allow me to be bound to you all the time." The second, another word, do we know the meaning of Janardana? We often say Janardana. What is the meaning of Janardana? Janardana means the one who bestows all types of boons. Okay, to all mankind. Janaha means mankind, and Ardana means to satisfy the boons of everybody. So now just imagine, let us take a bhajan, having known the meaning of these words, just let us take a bhajan and let me run through, make a story. Once you are able to understand the meaning of the bhajan, then you can make a story along with the bhajan. This bhajan is a very well known bhajan, Giridhar Govind Gopal, which brother will sing. I'll just take you through, because I remember one particular scene when in fact Ravi brother had played the role of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu many years back, and I was seeing the drama. It was way back in 1992, if I'm not wrong. And there's a beautiful scene from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's life, the great saint Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where he was a great Sanskrit scholar and he was bitten by the, what should I say, he was bitten by the scorpion of, maybe scorpion is a bad word, but he was bitten by the Lord's name. He suddenly forgot all his scholastic intelligence and started chanting the name of the Lord, and it is said that he started seeing Krishna everywhere. And there is one scene where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is inside the chamber and he sees Krishna behind one pillar, and he runs to hold Krishna and he hits his head to the pillar and Krishna disappears and appears behind another pillar. And then he runs over there and he hits his head to that pillar and Krishna disappears from there. Krishna is playing with his devotee and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is just running to the Lord. And at that moment, I felt that this bhajan encapsulates that feeling.
Giridhar Govinda Gopala Ghanshyam Nandalala.
It is like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu telling, Giridhar Govinda Gopala, where are you, O Lord? Ghanshyam, there is so much of, you know, crying, please give me your darshan. Ghanshyam Nandalala. And then the next line is,
Manamohana Madhusudana.
Please give me darshan.
Madhava.
And then the Lord does not appear for a long time, and so the heart cries out,
Damodara Janardana Murali Dhara Manamohana.
And when the heart calls out like this, the Lord has pity on you and He comes in front. And when He comes, He has come as the Vishwa Virata Swarupa. He is giving us darshan. And then when you see that magnificent form of the Lord, the heart goes,
Namo Sai Narayanaya, Namo Satya Narayanaya.
And that magnificent Lord is telling, my child, come, I have come for you. Come, take Pad Namaskar. And as we fall down at His feet, as we bow down to His feet, the heart says,
Namo Sai Narayanaya, Namo Sai Narayanaya.
So this is another technique of actually making a story and going through the bhajan. So you can have all the technicalities, but if you just add a story to it, automatically it goes to another level. You know, so this, we'll probably end it, you know, with a few more examples. There's so much more we can talk about. When Swami has given us this beautiful gift of Sai Bhajans, and that is why we consider it one of the greatest legacies of the Sai Avatar, you know, Sai Bhajans. In fact, every other organization today is taking up Sai Bhajans. And it's fantastic. We should spread our Sai Bhajans to every corner, every nook and corner of the globe. Because this is the best way, this is the most rocking way of having a conversation with God. That is what we should tell the world. That you want to converse with God, use Sai Bhajans to converse with God. So, if we were to have conversations with Swami, okay, how can we have, through Sai Bhajans, how can we use it to converse with the Lord?
Every bhajan for that matter, you know, you take any of our bhajans, we have thousands of bhajans. Each of them, in some way or the, in more than one way, in fact, can be used to have a particular conversation. For example, if I were to express my gratitude, or, you know, I'm so happy, I'm so, you know, overwhelmed that whatever has happened, and I just want to express gratitude to Swami, I could sing something like,
Koti Pranam, Shata Koti Pranam, He Dinanath Sai Ram. He Dinanath Sai Ram. He Dinanath Sai Ram.
What if you were feeling low one day, if you're feeling sad, what bhajan would you sing to converse with the Lord?
Yeah, any ideas? If you're feeling depressed or you're feeling like, Swami, I'm missing you, the sadness, what bhajan do you think can come to your mind? Any ideas? Sorry?
Which?
Sai Mata Pita
Dinabandhu Sakha.
Okay.
Sai Rama He Ghanshyama Mathura Natha Gopala. Okay. O Bhagavan.
O Bhagavan.
Arja Suno Mere Sai Bhagavan.
Okay. Nice. Good.
Sai Ram, Sai Shyam.
Yes, very good.
Wonderful. So, see, we all have our own ways. We have our own examples of how to pray to the Lord, how to connect to the Lord when we are feeling low. We'll give our own one example, where it's not just the words, it's also the raga which would come into play and suit the mood.
मन मंदिर में आओ गिरधारी निस दिन बरसत नयन हमारे मन मंदिर में आओ गिरधारी
Suppose if you were to ask God something, you're, you know, in this mood to ask, you know, for something, some special offer has come, you don't have enough funds, but you want to ask, so Lord, you know, get me a discount on that. So, what do you think can be a bhajan to ask the Lord? Any ideas? So, yeah? Tere Siva Prabhu. Wouldn't that be a little sad? More in a little sad? Yeah, okay. Okay, Asha Natudu, right. Don't lose hope. We won't lose hope on you, you don't lose hope on us.
Yeah.
Right? So something like, you know, we were thinking, when we were thinking of what we can sing, so something like this.
Sahara do Bhagwan Mujhe daya karo Mujhe kripa karo Mujhe Sanmati do Bhagwan.
So, you know, in Sahara, you can replace it with whatever you want.
Yeah. Bangla do, mujhe gaadi do.
Of course, yeah. So, that's on a little lighter note. So, here, I'll probably sing another bhajan. And can you guess what is the mood that can come from this bhajan?
Narayana. Hari Narayana, Bhaja Narayana, Sai Narayana. Narayana, Hari Narayana, Narayana, Sai Narayana. Narayana, Hari Narayana, Narayana, Sai Narayana.
Devotion,
okay. Bliss.
Pleading, asking, okay.
Meditative.
Yeah, that's the, maybe, you know, all of, there are no right or wrong answers.
Yeah, right.
We just thought, yeah, it is a very contemplative, it's a very neutral kind, right? When you've got everything, you're satisfied with everything. Swami, you know what? I just want to meditate on you. I want to contemplate on you. Right? So we felt that this bhajan kind of is that meditative types. Any other emotions, brothers?
Daya karo he, dayanidhe. हे भगवान तन मन धन सब चरण तुम्हारे दया करो हे दयानिधे हे भगवान
What did you think was going on? Surrender, guilty.
Feeling guilty.
Guilty. Yeah, right, okay. I'll rephrase that a little later, okay. Pleading, yes. Okay, we thought if you're going to ask Swami for forgiveness, yeah, guilty, rephrase, if you're going to ask Him for forgiveness, this would be a bhajan to connect for that mood.
Yeah, Swami, I goofed up somewhere. Please pardon me. And you know, at night before sleeping, for all the mistakes that we have, you know, we say, Vihitam avihitamva, that is knowing and unknowing whatever mistakes we have done. Please forgive us for that. So we can sing probably a bhajan like this.
I've got one more bhajan.
Yeah.
जय हरि बोल जय सीताराम गोपी गोपाल भजो राधेशा हरे राम 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 घन श्याम 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 हरे राम 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 घन श्याम श्याम श्याम.
Yeah, what did you feel? Happy, yes, yes. Yes.
We
happy,
thought we will
joyous,
end on this note.
Celebration, joy, happiness.
So just think about it. Like I said, each bhajan has so many different interpretations. It came out from the different answers, the varied answers that we got. And there are so many different moods. For every mood, possible mood, there is a bhajan. You feel happy, you feel joyous, you know, you're taking a brisk walk in the morning, sing Jai Hari Bol. You'll get that extra zing factor when you want to take, you know, spring in your step can come from the bhajan as well.
Yeah, it gives mental fitness and physical fitness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now we have gone through Sai Bhajans in quite an elaborate way. Like you said, we have a few more sections, but we'll save it for another day. So, various genres of music, the various types of kirtanas that it covers, and the various ways in which we can converse with Swami using our bhajans. So, this kind of covers this part of the...
So finally, you know, what is the impact? So what? After all of this, what is going to happen to us? I'll just tell you one thing that happened in Kodaikanal when we had been with Swami. So it was after the evening bhajans. So we would have a post-bhajan pre-dinner session, you know. Again, we'll sit with Swami and so that day Swami just asked, sing some songs. And so we had prepared some group songs. And so we started singing. We had prepared about 6 or 7 songs. But... 6 or 7 songs got over and Swami saying, sing some more. And you know, so we started singing some more songs and after a couple of more songs, Swami said, sing some more. And so then, you know, we have this book, it's our Bible. You always go back to that, it's called Vandana, in which we have all group songs. So we started opening that and we started singing and it was almost an hour and a half. And you know, Ratanlal auntie had started coming in, so she would cook, you know, for Bhagwan. So she was worried because it's getting late for Swami's dinner. And Swami is just, you know, asking us to sing more and more songs. So, you know, she started coming in and after some time, some more brothers came in and said, now stop, 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 stop now, you know. But Swami is telling, no, continue, continue. And suddenly the, you know, it was 7 o'clock and the cuckoo clock went off. While the song had just finished. And Swami looked at the time and said, oh, it's 7 o'clock. Okay, it's so late. And then we said, yes, Swami, you know, you kept asking us to sing. And so we sang. And then Swami said, nah, go, go, go. All of you go for dinner. And we said, no, Swami, you should go for dinner. It's time for you. And Swami said, no, my stomach is full. Listening to you all sing has filled my heart and my stomach. I don't need anything. And that day, Swami did not eat anything. He just retired, you know, to his bedroom. You know, often they say that the way to somebody's heart is through the stomach. Right? But for the Lord, the way to his stomach is through his heart. Right? You fill his heart and you will be able to fill his stomach as well. Because that, he says, no, bliss is my food. Truth is my name, bliss is my food, he says. If you are able to give that bliss to the Lord, okay, and he, remember, he is our indweller, he is the one who is seated inside. There is nothing greater than filling him up, because if, when we fill him up, we are full, and when we are full, the entire world is full. Right? That is the impact of Sai Bhajans, that is the impact of Bhajans, that is the great gift that Swami has given.
Much like this indulgent crowd which would ask us to go on, much like Swami did, we also have a clock. It's not a cuckoo clock, so it's not going to go off. But we hope that, you know, with all these insights and whatever experience that we have gathered with Swami, in the presence of Swami, which we have tried to share a fair bit of, we just hope that you could take back the importance of Namasmaran to Swami, how much it made an impact, and how much of a difference it made to Swami. And like he said, Swami would never miss a bhajan session for anything. Whether it was, you know, he would have so many things to attend to. There would be trust issues, there would be projects, and yet he would just cut away from all of that the moment you could hear Omkar, you know. And I've never had an opportunity to have an interview with Bhagwan, but I've read that always when people were in interviews with Swami, the moment bhajan starts, Swami says, bhajan started, let's go, let's go. Why? What's the hurry? We would keep singing till he would come, right? But that was how, you know, punctual he was to bhajans, and he could not keep himself away from bhajans. And wherever he went, there would always be bhajans. So that's how important bhajans is to Swami and to the organization as well. So we hope that we were able to convey a part of that this morning.
This is so we can all tune in as we started. So let us use bhajans as a way to tune into Swami who is this close to us.
And obviously, which is the theme of this conference as well, to be in harmony with Sai. So the Sai bhajans are the best way to be in harmony with Sai. We'll end with a bhajan. This bhajan so beautifully conveys, for those of you who don't know the meaning, because it's in Hindi, Shirdi Sai Parthi Sai Hamko Dijo Prema Mruta Dhara Tava Seva Ki Avasar Dijo Satya Sai Mahadev Gana Mrutame Bhava Vidijo Prema Sai Bhagavan.
Shirdi Sai Parthi Sai Hamko Dijo Prema Mruta Dhara Prema Mruta Dhara Shirdi Sai Parthi Sai Hamko Dijo Prema Mruta Dhara Prema Mruta Dhara Tav Seva Ki Avasar Dijo Satya Sai Mahadev
Tav Seva Ki Avasar Dijo Satya Sai Mahadev
Gana Amrit Me Bhav Bhi De Do प्रेम साई भगवान प्रेम साई भगवान गानामृत में भाव भी दे दो प्रेम साई भगवान प्रेम साई भगवान गानामृत में भाव भी दे दो प्रेम साई भगवान प्रेम साई भगवान
गानामृत में भाव दीजो प्रेम साई भगवान प्रेम साई
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram.
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 Sai Ram, Sai Ram,
Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Sai Ram, Shanti. Shanti, Shanti.
Vihari Gopala bihare gopala
radha hridaya bihare gopala
jaya govardhan dhari gopala जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
मीरा प्रभु गिरिधर बिहारी गोपाला
बिहारी
जय गोवर्धन धारी गोपाला
जय गोवर्धन
धारी गोपाला जन्म मरण भयहारी गोपाला
जन्म मरण भयहारी
मीरा प्रभु गिरिधारी गोपाला
मीरा प्रभु गिरिधारी गोपाला
प्रति बिहारी साई गोपाला
प्रति बिहारी साई गोपाला
प्रति बिहारी प्रभु साई गोपाला जय गोवर्धन धारी गोपाला गोपाला
भवानी साई माता
శక్తి మై సాయి మాతా
శివ శక్తి మై సాయి మాతా
శివ శక్తి మై సాయి మాతా
శివ శక్తి కపాలిని సాయి మాతా కాలి కపాలిని సాయి మాతా
కాలి కపాలిని సాయి
కాలి కపాలిని సాయి
దుర్గా భవాని సాయి మాతా శివ శక్తి మై సాయి మాతా
శివ శక్తి మై సాయి మాతా
అభయ ప్రదాయిని సాయి మాతా
అభయ ప్రదాయిని సాయి మాతా
తుమ్ హో ప్రేమ ప్రదాయిని మాతా దుర్గా భవానీ సాయి మాతా కాళి కపాలిని సాయి మాతా
గోపాలా గిరిధారి గోపాల
గిరిధారి గోపాల
కేశవ మాధవ గోపాల
కేశవ మాధవ గోపాల
కేశవ మాధవ గోపాల
కేశవ మాధవ గోపాల
హే గిరిధారి గోపాల
హే గిరిధారి గోపాల
నంద ముకుంద గోపాల చోరా గోపాల
నవనిత చోరా గోపాల
నవనిత చోరా గోపాల
నవనిత చోరా గోపాల
అంతర్యా దర్శన దో ప్రభు గోపాల
ఆ ప్యారే మురళీ వారి దర్శన దో ప్రభు గోపాల
ఆ ప్యారే మురళీ వారి దర్శన దో ప్రభు గోపాల
ఆ ప్యారే మురళీ వారి దర్శన దో ప్రభు
హే గిరిధారి గోపాల
గిరిధారి గోపాల
కేశవ మాధవ గోపాల
కేశవ మాధవ గోపాల
నంద ముకుంద గోపాల
నంద ముకుంద గోపాల
నవనీత చోరా గోపాల
నవనీత చోరా
అంతర్యామి గోపాల
అంతర్యామి గోపాల
హృదయ విహారి గోపాల
హృదయ విహారి గోపాల
ప్యారే మురళీ వాలే దర్శన దో ప్రభు గోపాల
ఆవో ప్యారే మురళీ వాలే దర్శన దో ప్రభు గోపాల
ఆవో ప్యారే మురళీ వాలే దర్శన దో ప్రభు గోపాల
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Natanagara Jaya Madhava, He Keshava. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Natanagara Jaya Madhava, He Keshava.
Muralidhara Manmohana Madhusudhana Krishna.
Muralidhara Manmohana Madhusudhana Krishna.
Bansidhara Dukhvanjana Yadunandana Krishna. Bansidhara Dukhvanjana Yadunandana Krishna.
Bansidhara Dukhvanjana Yadunandana Krishna.
Tadhe Govinda Sai Mukunda Gopi Jana Priya Krishna.
Radhe Govinda Sai Mukunda Gopi Jana Priya Krishna.
Radhe Govinda Sai Mukunda Gopi Jana Priya Krishna.
Radhe Govinda Sai Mukunda.
Muralidhara Manmohana Madhusudana Krishna.
Muralidhara Manmohana Madhusudana Krishna.
Natanagara Jaya Madhava He Keshava. Krishna Krishna Krishna.
Natanagara Jaya Madhava He Keshava.
Muralidhara Manmohana Madhusudana Krishna.
Muralidhara Manmohana Madhusudana Krishna.
Bansidhara Dukhvanjana Yadunandana Krishna.
Bansidhara
Radhe Govinda Sai Mukunda Gopi Jana Priya Krishna.
Radhe Govinda Sai Mukunda Gopi Jana Priya Krishna.
राधे गोविंद सई मुकुंद गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्ण
राधे गोविंद सई मुकुंद गोपी जन प्रिय कृष्ण
मुरलीधरा मनमोहना मधुसूदना कृष्णा